listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. Ilona Europa here, and I will say bye-bye to Ronan, who is our guru when it comes to sound from LA Talk Radio side, and I'm very thankful to have him always around me. And I have my wonderful friend, my wonderful co-host, Mary Grace. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, and what are you doing today? That's yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm helping out as engineer.
This is amazing. You know, I would love to do it. Obviously, I am a singer, songwriter. I also produce a lot of stuff. But thinking, having an accent, trying to interview people and be smart in a way, and then push the button and think if it's too loud or is this the right time to, you know, just play music. I am not ready for that. God, thank you for Mary Grace. I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. And of course, Accent On will not be great show if we will not have great guests. Today, guest is so good that I thought that we need to dedicate whole show to my friend, Tara. I have an accent. I will say your name, but you, of course, need to take from me because the mixing T, P, and H, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I will try. Sothen.
You did perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Tara, repeat perfectly your name that people even more recognized.
Tara Sutphin.
That's a beautiful name. And I would like to know where this name came from, and we'll find out a little bit more about you. But you are an author. You write books. You have a lot of CDs. You have a lot of amazing things going on in your life. But they're not like CDs and books about normal things. This is something very, very special. I would like you to describe to our listeners who is Tara and why I think you are some magical thing that entered my studio, to LA Talk Radio Studios on Accent On.
Thank you, Alona. That's so sweet. Anyway, well, I am, yeah, first of all, really, I'm a psychic. And I have been psychic ever since I was, well, all my life. And I had surgery when I was 6 weeks old, and it lasted for 7.5 hours. And then I had another surgery when I was 10 weeks old, and it, you know, I just knew when I was little how people felt. And so I just continued with that. And I always thought that, you know, I'd go to college, and I did go to college for a few years. I became an artist and also went to equine science for horses. But, you know, I always had the calling. And everyone I met was really either a teacher for me. And so I just continued on with metaphysics and learning about the other side and psychic phenomena.
You know, when you say I am a psychic, everybody says, okay, take a deep breath. Everybody wants to meet one, I'm sure. We all want to talk to people like you, because you not only try to understand people, you feel through their pains, probably. You see through their minds. I think when you are much deeper than anybody of us. When you meet somebody, you just probably read through them. And sometimes it may be scary for people that you meet, but sometimes can be very, very helpful. And who are the people who are coming to you asking for help?
Yeah, well, I believe that, you know, as really a way clearer for people, because I want always to do the right thing to allow people to be their better selves. And I was very reluctant for many, many years, you know, with this, because it's, you know, they say it's a blessing or a curse. And wow, you know, it is. I can feel everybody's pain. But, well, if I step into my personal power and help other people to step into theirs, then it becomes a blessing for me. And then my life becomes fulfilled because I have stepped into, like, hold your hand. You know, we all experience such amazing, you know, weird experiences.
Yeah.
And,
calmness.
Yeah, we need to calm down and to be present in our lives. And
I love you. I want to touch your hand. Can I touch your hand?
Oh, so okay. Cute. They're touching hands.
I already feel better. Yeah, you know what? This is a very serious topic for me, and I'm sure Mary too. Mary is just so spiritual, and she loves this type of people and topics, and we'll be also talking probably a lot with you, Tara. I hope you'll be coming back, because it's a lot of things to touch when it comes to hypnotherapy, when it comes to meditation, when it comes to things that you offer to people, seminars, and you have your own gatherings. We'll move forward with our interview and describe more what you are doing. But like you said, this didn't happen easily to you. The decision that you decided you are right for the people to look for the help in you. This is like, you know, it's almost like 911. You know, I have a number, 911. I know where to call. But 911 need to be confident that they are there to help you. Then you this calling, you said 1981, this is the time that you just really decide that this is the right time for you to become one?
Well, I had a near-death experience too when I was 8 years old. On top of all that other stuff, you know, it was like it got me right again when you start to lose the veil of your psychic ability, you know, it really put me back into having that near-death experience. It put me right back into the psychic world. And I would meet, when I was a teenager in Alaska, I would meet like Russian seers. I worked on the Alaska pipeline. Just, you know, everybody came out of the woodwork. Even when I was on the pipeline, somebody came at me to do my astrology. Psychic readers just said, oh, may I read you? May I read tarot cards for you? I'd be just anywhere I traveled. From the Philippines, from wherever it was, England, Australia, anybody would come up to me and say, may I read you? And I used to think that was probably normal for everyone. Mm. And I found out through the years that that's not really very normal.
Wow.
But so when I was 20, I met Jess Stern, who was very big in the 60s. He actually wrote the book in 1965. Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation. So he was somebody who brought Eastern thought into the Western world, and it was on the New York bestseller list. And he and I became best friends. He was 65, and, you know, I was very young. And we didn't know why we were friends, really, other than we just felt like family together. And during his lifetime, he died in 2002. He was with me every Christmas, every Thanksgiving. I mean, we were family.
Friendship.
Yes, we were very, very dear to each other. So I believe that I'm kind of probably the accolade of his work.
Okay.
Because we are very similar. Like, he was a New York Times writer, and he had many, many books that were very popular in the metaphysical field. When I met him when I was that young, I was not interested in metaphysics. And, not on the whole. I mean, for me, it was they were coming out of the woodwork. And since I met him, too, they were, you know, coming at me at full speed ahead. Mm. You know, all the seers and channelers and healers. And so it was quite interesting.
Did you question ever abilities of these people? Or you just felt like you are one of them? And you belong to this world, and you felt like this is your family, and you want to learn from them. And how this happened that you start feeling like you are really one of them, you know, one of people who can read?
Yeah, I really stepped into it. And that's a really interesting question, because at first I really didn't pay that much attention. I just write in my journal, this person said this about me, and that this would happen within 10 years or something. And I married somebody who was in another author, and so it just became really easy for me to be just immersed in that world. And then I opened the Shaman, Malibu Shaman. That was my store for a long time. It's now my ex-stepson's. But yeah, I bought all the books and all the gifts for that store in Malibu. And so it just, I could get my hands on any book that I ever wanted.
And wonderful. And obviously, you are a writer. You are an author.
Yes.
We'll be talking about your books. We have, we were talking right now. Okay, your journey is very unusual. You said through the childhood, through a few unusual experiences in life, you know, mm-hmm. the near-death experience. You saw the light, mm-hmm. you saw the some things that are on
yes.
the other side. Then you start feeling for the people. You start feeling like the world is somewhere there. You feel the world that people don't feel, okay? And then you are in from Alaska originally, yes?
Yes.
And then you moved to L.A. for mm-hmm. how many years you were here?
Well, I had... My father was born in Santa Cruz, California, so it was back and forth. My mother was from Alaska, and so we would go back and forth from Alaska and
that's mystic
California.
Part of the world. I was lucky to spend there almost 2 months. Really, you can, I don't know, it's just feeling like you are somewhere that is nowhere like that anymore. It was snow
yes.
and beautiful. Okay, let's talk about your spirit guide. This is something
yes.
very mystic, and you. This is name that you call Abenda. What does this mean? What is the name? And what is the spirit that you call Abenda?
Yes. Well, she was with me when, probably in the first, when in that first 7.5 hour surgery and probably with the second surgery. But I really got to know her when I had the near-death experience. Mm. And she said that we would be, you know, she would always be with me. So it was really interesting when I was about 21, I saw her again. And I thought, wow, you know, that's interesting that I'm seeing this, you know, entity, this dead person who I know. And she started talking at me mm-hmm. and telling me things. And then I started doing automatic writing just as kind of a fun. You know, if I wanted to know about you,
yes.
I would have her call in your spirit guide because I didn't necessarily feel that my spirit guide knew what right. your life was
of
about.
Course.
And so I would call in your spirit guide
to talk with Abed.
To talk about you, and then I would write
okay.
whatever they said through my hand.
Okay.
And so, you know, so if I heard them, or I just sometimes just give my hand and they
and they're
write
like thoughts
up.
That are sometimes not related, but when you write, you start interpreting them. You interpret them and you say, oh, that's what looks
yeah.
like.
I did thousands and thousands of letters.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
That.
Obviously, everybody will say,
yes.
I want you to do
yeah.
this for us.
All over the
and
world.
Maybe one day we'll be, you know,
yes.
taking calls or maybe meetings. You will tell
yes.
us where to make appointments with you because this is so interesting. And you
yeah.
think that all of us have a spirit or angels. We call them angels
yes.
or spirit. And this is somebody that I believe in angels, especially, you know, why I believe. And you discover them when you are in bad time in life. It's
yes.
funny because when you are in okay time, you think it's just okay. You don't need to think about if it's something above you. But then people say, okay, bad things happen. We turn to religion. We turn to some unusual
yes.
thoughts. And I just say bad things are happening right now in my life for a long time. But everything is somehow going into positive
yes.
endings. You know, everything what scares me eventually is finishing right. The same with my daughter. And I think I have an angel who watches over me and my child. I love this idea because you never feel alone.
That's right. And if you have that lack of fear, then you have the hope. And the hope, they will carry you into the next. Yeah, because if you do believe in that, then you ask them to come and they will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you,
wow,
Mary?
That's
Mary.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I know that you are really in love with this type of topic. Do you think you have your own angel?
I think I have. I definitely believe I have several guides, and they talk to me, and I have miracles happen to me every single day. So I really try and live in the divine flow, in that level of consciousness, and really work on myself. You know, because I think, and I ask you, I think that the most important journey on this planet is the journey within, getting to know yourself. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that sometimes we can be too much, you know, thinking about ourselves to where then we clam up and get self-conscious about actually sharing ourselves with the world. Because I think that it's a healthy balance to do both. And so if we trust our life and trust our path and know that when bad things happen, then in actuality, if you can trust through it, if you can say, okay, I want the best outcome to be in my favor here. Please just guide me out of it. Then it will happen for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I love it. Yeah, and I do. I believe that it takes an inner trust and an inner strength. I call it inner power and outer power. When you become really balanced with that, I think then you start to go. The flow in your life begins to really be divine and like miracles happening every day.
Every day. Yes. It is unbelievable. And I think to myself, how do I teach this? How do I help other people to get to this level? Because then you can actually see things and you know things about people that, and you want to try to help them. And it's a delicate balance. How do you handle that?
Well, I just think that random kindness is the best, mm-hmm. if nothing else.
I like that. You know? If you teach our children to be just kind to each other, already we are bringing this happy outlook on life, and is no tension between people. It's just so simple, I know. And smile.
Smile.
Oh, gosh, I liked it. I can be your sister. I want to be next to you, Tara, because I believe that life is so sweet when people just talk. Why girlfriend's world is so pleasurable? Because ladies, we all have this something about us that when we get together, we create a powerful environment and we bring ourselves mostly up, almost never down. And I like that about ladies' power. And just I love accent on to really talking to powerful women. And obviously Tara is one of them. Okay, moon rituals. What is this?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you first of Abenda and her name.
Okay,
I have to tell you a funny story about her name. She wouldn't tell me the meaning of her name. And I'd get really upset. And I argued with her a little bit. You know, I do argue with her. Because she lacked a sense of humor for a long time. Because she didn't really want to talk about like a love life or our human life. She wasn't that interested. She was more on the helping, you know, she wanted me to work all the time. So I'd asked her name, probably like in the 80s, early 80s sometime. And she said, you know, there'll be a future technology that comes along, and that's when you will know the meaning of my name. Hmm. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
You know, like...
First thing to wait, second, what I need to look for.
Wait.
Yeah.
Anyway, I waited many years until like 1997 when I first got the internet. And the first thing I typed in the search was Abenda, and it came up. Her name, it means infinity, mm-hmm. and it's a mathematical term.
Yeah.
Wow.
It means the beginning and the
of
end.
Of course, and the beginning and the end. Ouch!
Wow.
Beginning and the end. This is like, yeah.
Okay, it was maybe worth it, but gosh, I had to wait long enough.
But this is a beautiful name. I think if I will be having a child, I will call this Abenda, because it is all what you have, starts and ends. But really, this is all what we are, beginning and the end. It's a beautiful meaning. Okay, again, coming back to the moon
rituals. Well, I decided, you know, that I wanted... I actually just started having fun in the backyard and at the beach with my friends. And Marla, you know, who is Marla Maples is our mutual friend, mine and Alona's. And we would, you know, just light candles and we would do meditations and we would use the moon since it's the highest time and energy on the planet with a gravitational pull, we would feel that it would be an energetic opening to actually use it for our wishes and as a spotlight on our personal lives. So we use it kind of as our personal spotlight, like we are seen in the world. And so we started doing this as just kind of fun. And then, you know, I talk about it on my website that we asked for a random sign. And the most random sign came in through Queen Elizabeth.
Hmm.
Her office called my office to use a photo that I had taken with my camera over my head of her and her husband and son in a carriage in Edinburgh, Scotland, for her handbag and shoe show in Kensington Palace.
That's really, really
it was really random.
No connection. Why?
None.
What? But they're really
none.
Powerful. Very powerful. Yes. Do you think we can create some types of rituals in our lives that maybe we don't need to look for the moon, but something that we can create in our mind that we think if that's what we create in the moment will bring us the biggest energy. To me, funky, how I say, the moment when I, at night, mostly before 12, because I am not tired, I just love to stay long, and I have my last tea, and jasmine tea or something like that, and I just sit on a couch, I have two dogs on my lap, and mostly house is sleeping, I feel for the first time that I'm getting the special power, not power of going to sleep, some type of calmness, or just things that next day I will achieve what I want, and it just makes me relax. Not the tea, but the moment of dogs and me sitting on the couch. I know this moment is coming. I just, before was ice cream with, sorry, a little alcohol on the top, but I decided that's not right. Maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Now I turn. I say, okay, jasmine tea, and it's tasty. But yeah, it's not about tea or ice cream. It really was about this moment. Okay, it's done. Dishes are done. I have only 5 minutes before I will go to bed. And just sat. Doggies on the both sides, two of them. And, you know, no even TV. It's just, okay. And it's some type of ritual.
Yes. Meditation is so powerful. You know, I have all these meditation CDs, you know, creating intention. Because it's very, your mind is a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
And when you start to focus in on what you need and want, I mean, I have just made it fun. You know, that's where the moon rituals is a fun thing.
Yeah.
I try to, you know, I try to make real things into that we're going to have a party and we're going to have fun.
Okay.
And so that way it's not as painful to process your life as far as your job. You know, we're gonna. I'll do shamanic tools. I'll help you gain it through pretending in dream therapy.
Hmm.
And so, therefore, you think you're just playing, but in reality, what I'm doing
and you're teaching
I am basically tricking your subconscious mind
That's
into
beautiful.
This.
It's like parenting.
Will make you yes. This will make you powerful because these are the tools that. You know, our mind every day has to kind of shift into the true focus.
You are a hypnotherapist, and yes. Obvious. I worked a few years ago with wonderful gentleman in Westlake Village, Dr. Sadequist, and his older gentleman has a lot of clients. And you know, I knew him. We talked to him for many, many years. And then we had many books because he was one of our clients. Then we tried to learn more about hypnotherapy. We were going for his gathering and talking to the potential clients or patients. And this is just amazing, also amazing ability. And I'm sure somehow you were telling me that your sessions are a little bit different than sessions with hypnotherapists mm-hmm. that I imagine how they look.
Well, I do a lot of shamanic stuff with my, you know, people and clients that I work with. And usually it's, I do a lot of chakra linking. I do, to whereas I try to use the other side because mm-hmm. I have that ability.
Crossover.
Yeah, I have that. I just know that pathway.
Yeah, and for the people who don't know out there what shamanic is and chakra, maybe we might want to just take a moment to explain that.
Yeah, well, the shamanic is when you use the... nature. It's just like paganism. It's a using nature's energy and to create a flow within your body and your health and your mind, like connecting your mind and your body to start becoming the best it can be. And so shamanic is really just it's kind of organic word for, you know, helping you reach your spiritual epiphanies.
Which is pure, something completely not yet attached with civilization, something
yes.
that came from like within and somebody's just, well, that's beautiful. Yeah, we all go back eventually to what is nature, what is the nature food, what
yes.
is the nature way of thinking. And life is pretty crazy right now. And I think more and more, even a way of medicine, you know, how much we're learning right now, you know, what is the naturopathic, how it really can help, you know. Then going back to hypnotherapy sessions with you, how different it is from what
yes.
we think.
So anyway, usually I give a lot of more psychic input
okay.
and with my clients. So I don't necessarily take you into a past life. If we use a past life, we're using it as a tool to clear all into the future.
And people, yeah, when we go, I don't know, I never used, but like I said, I love the subject. We had so many books, and I met this really sweet man, wonderful doctor. And, you know, knowing that somebody can get into my mind and pick up from what really worries me, what really blockades my own soul or my abilities or just fear, get it out and just deal with it somehow, somewhere. That's the scary power. Sometimes I will feel like I'm afraid of somebody having power like that to me, because when I wake up, I could be healthier, or maybe he will bring up this the things that worries me. Do you think, can you can you hurt patients by letting them be aware of stuff that, oh, this is healing process, if you really find something in yourself that scares you?
No, I usually come on to that full on. Like, we don't allow it to be controlling you. You are controlling your destiny. You don't allow just the chaos to take over.
Wow, I love that, because chaos is all around us, and sometimes we just don't know how to really be part of chaos, or really we're not supposed to be part of chaos. Yes, we need to.
We're not a part of chaos if we step out of it. We just have to step back from the computer, step away from the telephone, step away from any sort of chaos, and just, you know, take a break from it. And
why
say, hey,
so many people don't see that what makes him unhappy is really that they're inhuman anymore, because they're surrounded by chaos that they create around themselves. Then how we can, obviously we need to call you, Tara, you need to tell us right away, right now, where we can find you, how we can contact you, because I think that the modern world is just too chaotic and kills people's spirit, kills families, kills the time that we really cannot create for ourselves. The children are a little bit abandoned. They create their own chaos by being surrounded by technology. And I know you are dealing with a lot of teens also, and you are rebuilding relationships, which I would like to focus on after maybe a break, when we maybe play one of my songs, which is called Anticipation. But Tara, before we'll listen to my song, please tell me where we can find you and how.
Well, the best way is my website, which is tarasutphin.com, and it's tarasutphen.com. And I have some specials, and I have lines of CDs and MP3s. So, you know, if you don't want to come in for a session, there's I teach automatic writing on CDs, and
then you just go to your website
therapy.
And you purchase, you pick, you'll teach us what to pick for our own good, because we hopefully will find answers. And your website is pretty cute. I love the pictures. Of course, the first thing is what all of us go when we, okay, picture, tiger picture. I almost posted the beautiful tiger picture with you. You had pretty nice travels, you know. And I know you'll be back, because right now is the introduction to your world, Tara's world. But I think I would love to just focus on maybe some type of problems or resolving, giving people advice. You know, you know so much about people's abilities, people's troubles, and like I say, chaos. If we can just start to pick the topic and have a conversation, maybe not whole show, but segment with you, that would be great. And obviously, I wish, and we all wish, that people will start calling or writing us on the Facebook what really bothers them and how they think you can help them, and we will lead them to you, and we'll have you here around. I hope you will come and you'll talk to us.
Thank you, Ilona.
Okay. Then anticipation. Yeah, I would love to talk about relationships a little bit later, broken hearts and hope for the better future with somebody that we love, or just losing our love. And this was one of the most painful songs I ever wrote many, many years ago when I was very happy. I don't know why I wrote the song, which reminds me everything what I'm going through right now. But yeah, then like Tara says, sometimes you need to wait 10 years to really knowing why something 10 years ago you wrote. It's like almost like life goes, and you wake up one day and said, wow, I felt that this will come anyway. And that's what is my song about, Anticipation for Love. you so much for listening. Anticipation, produced by Arkadiusz Tadla. Very interesting story. Also, the song, I never met Arkadiusz Tadla. He produced the song a few, many, many years ago. One of Sony websites offered contest with to remix my one of my songs called Heartache. Anyway, and I had like thousands remixers remixing my song, and they asked me to just pick the winner. And I didn't know who I was giving awards to. But one of the gentlemen who I chose happened was Arkadiusz Tadla. And then I discovered that he's Polish. Which, how weird it is that I somehow chose somebody from my part of the world, and there was mostly Americans, 90% of Americans. This gentleman was Polish, and I never met him. He produced many, many songs for me, and then 2 years ago, he just overdosed and died. You know, then I never met him. We have many beautiful songs together. The most heartbreaking songs that I wrote came from my Polish soul, that I never met, and I know he left beautiful baby behind and wife, and life works very sad ways. But again, this song is my favorite. Then Arkadiusz, wherever you are, hopefully one day we'll meet and sing together. Okay, Tara, coming back to something that is very interesting for me, and I would love to also focus on that one day, the therapy for marriage. You know, yes. Breaking marriage. I know you are having private practice, and you are dealing with teens, probably personal tragedies, and children are part of that. You know, how are you dealing? It's so hard to step between two people who just loved each other, and now they somehow don't. And some people are lucky, they still want to work on their relationships, and we know that many times therapy doesn't work. You need to somehow make this work, and having stranger to just, I don't know, vacillating. Yes, mm-hmm. the two people, and just get the best of them and just find the love that they once had and just make people connect, reconnect again. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that you can offer to any human being who is in pain. How you think, are you succeeding this, or you think that really is very hard to mend people's broken hearts and just bring marriage together? Do you think this is easy job or one of the hardest for you?
Yeah, no, I think it's one of the hardest, because, you know, when people make up their mind, they are very stubborn to allow love back into their life. And it's really, you know, lessens their life. It really is not about, you know, we're on the planet such a very short time. Really, you want to, like, be thinking about that, you know, fighting with someone else? I don't know if it's their aliveness or if it's, you know, maybe they just needed to feel alive again, and so they're fighting, like as if you're a sibling now instead of a, you know, once a lover.
And the worst is that mostly they are grown-ups. You know, I understand younger people who are just breaking up the young marriages or young relationships, but when years are passing by and people build their own life together and seem happy, and then one day this is gone, and like you said, stubbornness probably is the big, great word, because I know I'm stubborn, sorry. And it takes two to mend relationships, really takes two. One side can want be in a relationship, but if another doesn't, as nothing to be done, then how can you even make people talk to each other?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, we can over-intellectualize things, we can over-spiritualize, we can be in the physical, if we're not in the physical love of it, we're in the physical hate of things. And so we have to become balanced again. And I think that's where hypnotherapy really comes in, to really calm people down and to gain a perspective. And to, spiritually, I mean, do you really want karma with this person? Intellectually, if you're thinking of time and all on the planet, why do you want to spend your time in this way? Don't you really want to be successful? I mean, what is it that brings you alive with fighting with this person? You know, it's very interesting how people can't step away from their problems. I mean, everybody's problems. I mean, if it's money, love, health, all of it, you know, people dive right in instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, let's calm down. I need a solution here. there are decisions and solutions to be made. And it's interesting as being on Earth that people will drag their children into the, you know, silliest things. Hmm. And it's really sad.
Yeah, the children always is the hardest because when you have very young babies, 7, 6, 5, that they know something but they don't understand what's going on. That, I think, is almost crime, you know, to make these children manipulate their minds. But then you have much older children who they made up their minds and they have their own vision what really they perceive their parents to be like. And it's very hard to even change their point of view because they're stubborn, because they judge us from far and they have their own opinion. And it's tough to, we know how tough it is talking to 16, 17, 18, 19 and, you know, further people. They know what they want to know and they just, hey, that's my opinion. Now, you know, you're into trouble alone. But do you believe that love can die? How this could be that somebody loves and loves and loves and then no,
if hate
anymore.
Is involved, there is no death. No, the passion is still wide awake.
Do you think that if people hurt each other, it means that they secretly really are loving each other and covering? I love that. That's the topic for another discussion because we can learn something about it. I will agree with you. When anger comes to the place mm-hmm. in your mind, you cover almost everything.
Yes.
And hate is a very tough word. You know, we don't want anybody to hate. How can you make them aware that really what they do is they create hate in their own heart to cover their own pain or cover mm-hmm. some insecurities about themselves?
Yeah.
Can you make people aware that things that they do against somebody, this is really hate that they create artificially sometimes to cover their own pain? You know, when marriage dissolves or relationship is slowly dying, you know. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, do you like to work with both husband
and
wife?
Well, I have. I've worked with both. You know, it's very hard to work with both because you have to be very balanced not favoring one over the other. And usually, you know, there's a bigger story than what is, you know, being told. And, you know, people's feelings, you know, you have to take that into account, which has always been my thing anyway, is really knowing where people are at with their feelings. And, you know, and basically, you know, someone's not taking into account someone's feelings anymore. That's the general of divorce.
Wow.
Is you don't care about someone else's feelings whatsoever anymore.
You're right.
Yeah.
But before you cared so much. How this happens that one day you stop caring about another person? But we know that's the modern world.
It's a modern world. It is a modern world.
Yeah. Yeah, in Europe, it's not like that. I know. I don't know. I still prefer the old world, you know, the families together and parents together, getting a family, helping each other. It's just not stepping outside of somebody else's problems. Family just listens and tries to give you arm to cry instead of saying, hey, that's not my problem. This is your problem. Dissolve your problem on your own. Because like you said, we need touch somebody's hand, sometimes go and have a tea with family, friends. It's a tough, tough world. Okay, but that's sad story. We don't want sad story.
Right.
Tara, okay, I know you have a lot of things going on right now. You have seminars, you are meeting people in the groups. You know, you just need to tell us more and more. We know where to find you on your website again.
Yes.
Could you tell us your website again?
Yeah, at tarasutphin.com, and that's tarasutphin.com. And I have moonsource.com too, if you want to go to moonsource, if that's easier for you than spelling my last name. And source is moon and then source, SORCE.
From this moment, we are going straight to astrology.
Yes.
Okay, that's another thing that you are strong with.
Yes.
Tell us how to describe you and astrology. Where is the connection?
Well, you know, I began with palmistry. And then I got a personal teacher and she was teaching me and she was into astrology as well. And then I decided that I wondered with palmistry if handwriting analysis had anything to do with you know, palms and the lines and what it would mean. But in reality, with handwriting analysis, it's your moods. And so it was really interesting to have then the handwriting analysis under you know, I've studied for years. And then I said, okay, I'm going to tackle it. At about 25, I decided I'm going to tackle astrology. I know it will be a lifelong learning, but I want to do it. So I started to learn Western astrology. I had many great people around me, especially Barbara May. She's a really great astrologer. And so I had at my fingertips really great astrologers to ask and question all my questions that I had. And then she was friends with Lois Rodden, who was the Astrological Federations, you know, all those groups that she was the president, you know. So I got a lot of really great people around to answer all my questions. And I went into then Eastern and Western astrology because I found that Western astrology was really amazing. It's almost like Western medicine. It's just so, you know, precise. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, they know they're scientifically, you know, tracking the arc of the sun from, say, the North Pole to the equator or to the South Pole. So they can, you know, see what the light, what the fractions of light, what it means. And so they come up with, you know, a better mathematical statistics for it. Mm-hmm. But the thing with that I found with astrology is that it all became numbers. And mm-hmm. so it was really the language of numbers, gematria, which then went into all Eastern astrology as well. And that's Chinese, Vedic, it's sidereal, where Arabic, where Alexander the Great brought it out of, I don't know if I'm saying around Chaldea, you know, and probably we lost a lot of the information in the Alexandria fire. Mm. You know, because probably a lot of that information went there. But so I have studied all the mathematical formulas for many, many, probably 20 years now.
That are you into
25 maybe.
Into horoscopes? Do you believe?
Yes.
And do you?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I've researched. Researched how, what our predestiny is and where it's going into the, you know, just where are we going? Is it a blueprint or a map? And it is, a lot of it is. If you have your correct birth time, you know, it all, again, goes into the mathematical equations of everything. And we're all different.
Really? Even when we are born in the same day, millions of people, you still can see the different paths?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of twins. And a lot of people give me twins to do. And I have one where I thought it was fascinating. One was a Pisces rising, the other one's an Aries, and they're only 3 minutes apart. You know, and they're so different. Like the one who's an Aries rising has climbed Everest, where the other one who is a Pisces rising, she likes indoor things. And so she's actually a graphic artist.
Well, that's completely different.
And so
you're
it was really, and here they are, you know, out of born.
Few minutes separated. Under different influence of stars.
Right.
Or stars. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, obvious. What about this another planet that they found right now? We have like 13 of them, you know, horoscope of new sun. And I am one of them. Now I'm not anymore Sagittarius. They call me something else.
Oh, I am too.
You too?
Yeah, we're both Sagittarius,
Okay, but they found something that is moves us left and right.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, but again, you know, that's kind of stuck to names.
Oh, okay.
To whereas I do the mathematics. So for my astrology, it doesn't matter.
Oh, good.
What
I like
anything
that.
Is named.
Don't change on me, please.
Yes.
I want to believe that somebody has a formula for us and they still... Doesn't matter what his name. That matters what really is happening. Yeah, then you're Sagittarius. Yes. I was born on the 4th December, and you?
Yeah, 10th.
Oh my gosh, girlfriend! And you?
I'm August. I'm a Virgo.
That's very
August.
Pretty.
I love that
but,
too.
Yeah.
Okay. I love everybody.
I know that you are helping somebody else. Can you help yourself?
Yes, I believe I can help myself very well. Yeah, I think that the focus ability is very strong, and that's where I listen to my guides and I listen to you know, myself, because I believe that what you tell other people and what you teach is you should actually really live by it.
I like
you know?
It.
Yeah, come on,
walk
now.
The talk.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Walk it. Yeah, so yeah, no, I walk it.
Yeah. And I know you're a mother.
Yeah.
You have
three.
Three girls, yeah?
Yeah. No, two boys and a girl.
Oh, you have to. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You have a daughter,
one.
So yes. I have Cheyenne, and then I have Hunter.
Oh, what a name, Cheyenne. I just love it.
Yeah, thank you.
And obviously, they like when mommy likes part in your.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is amazing, the influence that you, oh, and I am a musician, my daughter is mm-hmm. studying music also, then, you know, it's beautiful to know that we have this power over the children, mm-hmm. that if they accept what we do, they naturally want to be partially like we are and probably better mm-hmm. soon, okay, then I hope that. Okay, and if practice, you say the private practice, do you have a place, a physical place that people go? How do you go out meeting people in private?
I'm on the phone and on Skype mostly. And then I do seminars. You know, I have seminars coming up. I have a great seminar coming up with Scott Grossberg. And he's that will be
big.
In Calabasas. And then I have some mystic trainings coming up. And I actually have some hypnotist trainings that I'm going to do upcoming. So I have a big roster this year of a lot of seminars.
I loved it. And like I said, we really want you to be our expert on many, many topics that involve our intuition, meditation, how to get better out of depression. How you can give us direction. You can help us a little bit understand more what maybe we can improve about ourselves and just be more friendly even to each other. And I know that we have only 1 minute before our show is ending, and I had a magical time with you, Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I saw you 4 years ago. I'm so happy that we reconnected, because this is a very special topic for me, and now I need your strength, and I think we all will be running to your website. Again, your website is?
Yes, TaraSutphin.com.
Describe yourself as, yes, again.
TaraSutphen.com.
And we will see you. No, we cannot see you, but we will listen to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Alona. Lots
Bye-bye.
Of love.
Mm. I love you, Mary. Thank
love.
You.
Love you, too.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.